I just want to take a second and thank Policy Genius. They're supporting today's episode of Success Story. I know we all have kids, we all have families we want to take care of, and I personally checked something off major on my to-do list, life insurance. It's a tough topic. It's really hard to think about, but it's so important. And the hard part was sorting through all the options. Luckily, I found Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that makes getting life insurance surprisingly easy. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Now, knowing my family's protected brings me incredible peace of mind. Don't put off this important decision. Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Eufy is sponsoring today's video. They reached out to me. I tested out their video lock. It is a game changer. I'm going to paint a picture for you for why I'm so excited to work with them. So, you're getting home, your arms are loaded with groceries or packages or boxes or everything, and your keys are in your pocket. This drives me nuts. This happens all the time. I upgraded to the Eufy video lock, fingerprint, tap, I'm inside. And honestly, I also feel way safer. It's got this awesome built-in camera. So whether it's a package delivery or late night Uber order, I see exactly who's there right from my phone. There are no more mystery knocks. And the best part, this thing was such a breeze to set up. There's no wires, there's no drilling. There's also no monthly subscription fees. So if you are done fumbling with your keys, because I definitely am, search for Eufy Video Lock or head over to eufyofficial.com/video lock. Your front door, your sanity. Welcome to Success Story, the most useful podcast in the world. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary, and today I'm sitting down with Ryan Staley. Ryan is the founder and CEO of Whale Boss. His specialty is helping entrepreneurs land the biggest clients they've ever landed. He comes from a background in business-to-business enterprise sales. Ryan has had repeat sales executive roles over his career. He's worked at Pitney Bowes. He's worked at Antenna Software. He's worked as Vice President of Strategic Accounts at Flex Technologies Group. He is a chapter head at the Revenue Collective. He's a founding member of Rev Genius. He's a founding member of Sales Hacker. And now he works, like I said, with his own company, Whale Boss, to help entrepreneurs close the largest deals they've ever had access to, ever thought possible. He has over $150 million in revenue that he's personally closed over the course of his career. And his claim to fame in his most recent role is scaling from zero to $30 million in annual recurring revenue with four salespeople that he was working with under his tutelage with zero marketing, zero demand generation. So if you're just starting out, regardless of whether or not you're selling software, you could be selling hardware, you could be selling a service to help you move up market and close larger deals. We have two incredible sponsors for today's episode. We have JustWorks, a tool that allows you to scale your small business easier. And then we have Gusto, your one-stop shop for all payroll solutions. This is another episode of Success Story Podcast. Without further ado, Ryan Staley.
It'd be like saying YOLO and throwing all your money on GameStop. Now, yeah. Granted, it could work out, but there's a lot of poor staffs that lost a lot of money on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or just going all in on a meme stock, right?
Yeah. All right. Thanks again for joining me. Today, I'm sitting down with Ryan Staley. He is a career sales and revenue executive. He had his first success in business as an inside sales rep, selling cutting-edge technology, training CIOs, CTOs, and VPs. He finished number one nationally, was promoted to manager and then senior manager, kicking off an incredible career in sales, moving into more complex, larger enterprise organizations. He was a multiple year President's Club winner and equity holder. The experience building this incredible sales career launched Ryan into leadership positions in which he was responsible for transforming struggling business units into top performing offices, creating enterprise teams from scratch. The new business units he created in one particular company grew from zero to 30 million annual recurring revenue, 30 million in capital revenue, over 30 individual $500,000 plus contracts, and one $20 million contract, if I'm not mistaken, with only four salespeople, No lead generation, no demand generation. Ryan has codified his playbook across all the sales roles he's had over his career. He now has built out his own sales firm, Whale Boss, working with executives, CEOs, revenue leaders to implement a 7 to 8 figure sales system in an extremely short 3 month sprint. Ryan, very excited to have you on to break down your sales system, your career. Thank you for coming on. What is your origin story?
Like my superhero origin story? Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, man. It's good to see you.
No, my pleasure. Speaking of
I've been doing like sales and marketing. I see everywhere. So you're doing a fantastic job of getting your name out there, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But this is about you. So yes, your superhero origin story, and then your sales executive origin story, which is just as impressive, man. So I walked through a little bit, but you know, give me some details. So you were your career sales, but was this on purpose? Did you go into sales on purpose, or was this what was it?
Yeah. So I'll walk you through that. It was kind of interesting because like, and this isn't in the bio that you read, but everybody starts somewhere, and my whole beginning into sales and what made it attractive to me. I mean, I was like a paper boy, you know, so I had a paper route, multiple paper routes when I was there. I then became a bus boy and had the wage of $3.75 an hour plus tips, you know, so that was fantastic. But what I saw on the way home from being a bus boy when I was like caked and that Italian food smell from the pizzeria that I worked at and just had my dress shirt that just kind of stunk, right? It's disgusting. So I'm on my way home, I'm like, there's gotta be a better way to do this, right? And I come from a blue collar family where my dad was a police officer, my mom was a teacher, and they just worked their butts off. And what I saw them doing is working so hard, and they didn't have really big jumps in their income, or they weren't necessarily compensated for the size of the contribution that they were delivering. So a light bulb went off at me. I'm like, there's gotta be a better way to do this, right? And so I'm on my way home and I basically see a sign, and the sign says, you know, start your career here, $14.95 per hour, like apply within, right? So I'm like, oh, this is amazing. What could this be? What is this mystery job? Do you know what this company is that I'm talking about? You're smiling a little.
No, bit. I think it's some sort of, I don't know, some sort of call center, some sort of boiler room. What?
No, you would think it is, right? So, of course, very similar to the movie Boiler Room, which I actually did work in a boiler room environment. We can talk about that later. But anyways, it was a group interview, right? Oh, okay. So you go in and they give you this big presentation about all these things. And basically, it was a company called Vector Marketing, which is a subsidiary of Cutco. You're familiar with
the
Cutco?
Knives, yeah, the knives.
Yeah. And so anyways, I listened intently. I asked great questions. So like 99% of the other people that were there, they invited me for a job opportunity. So I'm so excited. I backed up my car. I'm like, all right, I got this job. I'm making thousands of dollars this summer. Screw the $3.75 per hour. I'm crushing it. I'm going to make 5x that. Hurry up, throw it in reverse. And by the way, at that time, I was driving a wood grain station wagon, no, minivan, that I crashed into a pole right there. And I'm like, all right, screw it. It doesn't matter. I'm making so much money this summer. I'm going to destroy it. Drive home, make the pitch to my parents. And then they gave me the soul crushing blow of saying, there's no way in hell you're going to work for Cutco because all you're going to do is pitch our friends.
Yeah.
And they were kind of right, because that's what I said. They're like, where are you going to get all these leads from? I'm like, your friends. I'm just going to pitch your friends, mom and dad. And so long story short, I was not able to take the job. I caused $1,200 worth of damage, and I had to kind of grind my way out to pay that off. But that was kind of like the pivotal point that got me interested in more of a sales career. And then from there on out, I started in college and then grew from there throughout my career and just continually just chipped away at it, grinded and escalated my career.
So, okay. So you went into more traditional roles. You went into SDR, you went into manager, senior manager, you've done the gamut of sales stuff. So, we can touch on any piece of that. Cause I'm curious, you mentioned boiler room, you mentioned SDR. I feel like you've done like every sales job in the world, but I obviously want to unpack like what you did when you grew a company to 30 million. Were there any
Yeah,
notable
man.
career points between the Cutco SDR to the 30 million with four staff that you wanted to bring out that were just incredible things that you learned or anything like that?
Yeah, I could give you a couple
Yeah.
nuggets. I mean, and just for clarity purposes, I never was an SDR.
Oh, sorry.
Like SDRs didn't
Okay.
even exist back then, at least the term that I was aware of. So I worked for inside sales. So it was like boiler room where I had a one call close people for a training package of like $4,000. Now, it wasn't a stock that didn't exist or anything like that. It was legit. However, there was kind of two pivotal moments that I experienced throughout my career that really changed everything. And then help pave the way for that trajectory of basically what happened with that growth that you mentioned in my bio. And so one of them was I was a rep, and when I was a rep, I closed 0 deals in the first 8 months there, which is really, really hard. However, I had a revolving door of managers, brand new office that was opened up, and finally I figured out and found my way. So, month 9 got a big deal, month 10 got a big deal, month 11 and 12, right? So I was just a slow starter, a fast finisher with that. Then I continued over years, did the same thing, right? And basically what happened was I got sick of working 60 hours a week to make 100% of my quota when I saw another guy who was flying on private jets, worked 9 months of the year, and only worked 30 hours a week max.
A
So I'm like,
sales
what
rep?
is
A
this guy
sales rep
doing?
was flying on private?
Yeah, sales rep. Yeah,
What
yeah.
industry was
He's
this?
making that much money.
What job do I have to
This
apply
was like,
for?
managed services for printers, like HP,
Yeah.
Lexmark, like managed print services
Wow.
is what it
All
was.
right. Well,
So it was not anything sexy by any means,
but he
right?
was making good money, or she was making good money. Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing
Yeah.
really well, and I'm sure I'm not even gonna get into it. There's some other shenanigans that he was doing, but anyways, I'm gonna take the high road. And so what happened was I like really dissected what this guy was doing. I'm like, I gotta figure this out. So I reverse engineered it, found out this guy basically out of his whatever 180% of quota he hit it every year, roughly about 130% of it came from like two deals. And so I'm like, okay, he's basically got two customers, he's doing that, and then he's just adding on some other components, right? Every single sales company I worked at had the same kind of model where there was one or two people that would be, those people that are like chairman's club, 190%, 200%, and everybody else was like 140%, right? And it was a trend, it was a pattern. So what happened was I started to really focus on that. And then what happened was when I was a leader, I hit a wall because I was my first time in management, I was grinding away. And essentially, things started to take off, but they shifted me departments. So they're like, Ryan, you're great at big deals. We want you to start this enterprise team from scratch. And so we had no playbook, we had no marketing department, we had no SDRs, we had nothing. Like it was just like I didn't even have a team. They're like, just go figure it out, Ryan. I'm like, awesome, sweet, right? So what ended up happening is I looked at that experience I had prior and I'm like, okay, this is a track record, this is what they're doing. So I started off like deconstructing all the big deals that our company had and what were the patterns and verticals and exact situations that they did. And then from that, basically I started to see patterns in terms of how people bought, what they did, and how they acquired different customers. And so I took that like basically that I modeled all those success factors and then put it into and package it into a process that I developed from scratch on how to sell enterprise deals. And what we did is we leveled up each year. So for example, our monthly recurring revenue for the size of the deals might be $20,000 a month, right? In year one. Well, the next year we leveled it up and we started getting $70,000 a month deals. Then it was $150,000 a month deals. Then it was, $300,000. Then it was $600,000. So that was the way we scaled really fast, is we kept and specifically focused and were really hyper targeted on continually expanding and multiplying our biggest customers. And that's how we were able to be resourceful and get those results.
That's an interesting. So you were just now the name makes sense. You were going after the whales. You were going after that's the name.
Yeah.
So
Exactly.
that's the point where you scaled. So you, and by the way, I guess I sort of skipped over this, but I didn't even realize when I said it, but SDR, so sales development rep. I guess that's the modern iteration of an inside sales rep for whoever is listening and trying to unpack those acronyms. So as you went through, you finally end up in the sales management position. You sort of reverse engineered this process. This is the process that you use to build out this $30 million revenue machine in your business. When do you start to branch out on your own? This is probably where you start to understand, like, okay, I have a process here. It's worked repeatedly, and now there's an option for me to take this and run with it, because obviously other companies need this, because they're always hurting with these enterprise clients.
Yeah, and so I think a lot of it started. It was really interesting, Scott, because it started. I didn't really work on building my brand. I was so focused on achieving those results internally, and I networked it with customers or customer-facing components, but not with peers. I really it, other companies. I networked with peers at my company, so I was kind of like in my own bubble. And that's one of the biggest things I tell salespeople. It's always talk to people outside of that. So what happened was, I started talking to folks as I was building my brand, and they're like, "What'd you do?" You know, because a lot of salespeople are competitive, but they're like, "So give me your baseball card. What are your stats? What did you execute on?" Right? And then I started telling people, and they're like, "Huh, that's like really impressive." And I'm like, "It is." They tell me at work I'm not doing enough. You know? So like, I was like, "Oh my God, like I got something here, right?" And then I started asking around, and they're like, "Dude, nobody else is doing that." And so I'm like, "Okay, this is interesting." So basically what happened, and we talked about this a little bit before, is my firm, I started to work on creating a methodology and a frameworks around this, started to create a course for sales reps, not for companies. My company found out about it. They didn't like it. It was in the middle of COVID, and they say, "Ryan, it's time for you to leave," right? After being there for 9.5 years. So it was like the peak of COVID. So that's a whole nother story. We don't need to get into that now,
I
but
don't want to bring up
a little hard.
I don't want to bring up
So
bad memories that give you a little PTSD.
yeah, it sucked, man. The first 4 or 5 months, I was just trying to figure out what was going on. I mean, that's when the riots were happening in Chicago. There was all sorts of, I mean, it was a really unique time. And I kept saying to myself, as a point of motivation, like, "Ryan, this is going to be a hell of a comeback story. This is going to be a hell of a redemption story." And so I did an enterprise summit last year in October. And I started talking to people. And once again, this kind of came to the surface. And I'm like, "I really want to be working with CEOs." And I started talking to my network, and people are like, "Well, what you did, I want you to do that for my company." And so I started to focus on it, and the more I focused on it, the more it started to grow. And so now essentially I coach CEOs on how to implement those systems that got that result for me before, when in a resource constrained environment where they don't have tons of venture capital.
And now, and I love something that you said before that actually really resonated with me. Based on your own past experience and probably many others, there's a lot of founders that all they want to do is raise money. All they want to do is bring on investors. Oh, it's too slow to bootstrap. And for a lot of people, it is very hard to bootstrap. But your purpose is, okay, there's other ways to go up market, to close multi-million dollar customers without having to have venture capital and put on this incredibly stressful growth trajectory that you always go on when you take in outside money. So that's also something that's very the fact that you brought that up, that you realize that a lot of founders deal with that, I think it's quite respectful.
Thank you.
So how has it been? Because when the fact that you've done this for companies, you did this for your own company, it blows my mind, honestly, the fact that they let you go because of a course that brought them X million dollars. Honestly, like, I have it is what it is. I have my own thoughts about that, but that's okay. I'm all about building personal brands, and I'm a big proponent of it, regardless of whether or not you're in or out of a company. I think it's only a benefit to the company at the end of the day, but not everybody agrees. So, moving on from that, so what are your results like working with companies? Because you make a bold claim. You say, how did you the way you phrase it is, 7 to 8 figures, implement 7 to 8 figure sales systems in a 3 month period. I'm assuming industry agnostic, doesn't matter. This is what you can go and implement. So walk me through some of the results that you've actually had. What is your baseball card since you left?
Yeah, sure. And you know, in full transparency, this is something that I've been working on really for 6 months. So it's still like the results, you know, I don't have tons of baseball card stats on it. All that I will tell you is that like 90% of my customers are renewing after the initial 3 months because they want me to keep working with them. So obviously I'm doing something right. And what I'll tell you, I'll give you kind of the framework of kind of how I approach it. Would that be helpful, Scott?
It would be great. Yeah, I think that would be good because that's there's two things that I want to pull out of you. I want to pull out of your mind as somebody quickly transitioning into entrepreneurship and how you did that. But obviously the sales system is also, that's key. We got to go into that.
So I hit the sales system and then we hit the entrepreneurship. Yeah. Is that cool?
Cool.
All right, awesome, man. So basically the way you look at it is there's all these software companies that are being created, right? And I specifically focus on higher ticket companies. So companies that are selling solutions that are $30,000 or $40,000 or more, really. Because it's a completely different motion if you're selling a $99 a month product or a $299. It's completely different than if you're selling $40,000, $100,000, $200,000 and up, right? Mm. So that's kind of my niche that I work on because there's so many more complexities to do that. And so basically the way I look at it is there's all these software systems, all these software, I should say companies are being created, tech companies are being created. They spent all this time systemizing the development of their software and the constant updating and operating system for that, but they don't create the operating system for sales. Mm-hmm. And so really I look at that and I'm like, okay, what can you do to implement a sales operating system? And there's three components that I look at when we're doing that. Number one is that specific strategy I mentioned to you before is, okay, what are your top five clients and how do we replicate and expand them every single year, right? What's the process so that if you have five customers that are paying you $20,000 a month, how do we make that 10 customers next year that are paying you $30,000 a month? The numbers add up really, really quick. Mm-hmm. A lot of times too, if you focus on it, you could even double it. So if someone's paying you $20,000 a month, you could double it to $50,000 a month. Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. Where people go wrong and the biggest mistake they make is they try and go from $20,000 a month to $200,000 a month. And a lot of the customers, like, they don't have the references, they don't have the infrastructure to support that. Whereas if you go more of a doubling motion, it's a lot easier to make that bridge. So that's the number one sales opportunity.
That piece, do you do that? Do you recommend doing that with new products? Or like, what's the strategy to actually uncover that additional budget? Is it selling to another business unit within the company? I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, JustWorks. JustWorks relieves all the headache to do with admin work or HR work for your company. If you're a small business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, JustWorks is going to allow you to focus on building the business, not working in the business, right? Work on the business, not in it. And all the admin headaches that come with running and scaling a business, JustWorks is the tool that allows you to get those off your plate. So these are just some of the things that JustWorks does. It allows employees to onboard themselves in a few minutes, gives them immediate access to all your healthcare insurance plans, large national group insurance plans. It gives you access to 24/7 HR consultants that you can access anytime. It allows you to run payroll, manage benefits, figure out state-by-state regulations and tax implications. It allows you to disseminate all of the sick leave policies, insurance policies to your staff without having to be bogged down with administrative headache and answering questions. Your staff can use JustWorks, your employees can use JustWorks so that you can truly focus on growing your business. One of the biggest issues that entrepreneurs have or small business owners have, and I've seen it firsthand, and I've spoken to a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners, is that they get too caught up in running the day-to-day and they don't focus on the vision. And if you don't focus on building the company, if you don't focus on the vision of the organization, it's not going to grow. So you owe it to your employees to invest in tools like JustWorks so that you can focus again on that vision and focus on building. And then the other admin components that you just don't want to take on, that's where JustWorks has your back. If you want to learn more about JustWorks, go to justworks.com. And you will see a full list of all the various things they can do for your business, all the tasks they can automate, all the headache they can remove. So go to justworks.com for more info. and you can find out exactly how JustWorks can help your business. All right, let's get back to the show. What's the go-to?
This one is net new customers. Okay. So that's the whale scale operating system. That's the first one. So that's net new customers. Okay. So the second one is what you just hit on, is a secondary sales system or a secondary sales process. So and basically that's expanding existing customers that in terms of the average spend or the average cart value, average dollar value, lifetime value, whatever acronym you're using. And so what happens is companies will spend, especially on larger deal sizes, they'll spend 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, sometimes even a year getting a customer. They get the customer and then they don't talk to them. Mm-hmm. They don't have a process that after they get that customer, how to create continual value while also seeding and selling every time that they see them of the next problem they have. Because let's face it, whenever you get one problem solved, there's usually five new problems that occur as a result of that, right? So that's number two. Number three, and this is my favorite. This is what I'm on fire about just because it's so simple. And Scott, I had an epiphany about this when I was sitting in a room. I was at a conference. There's 5,000 entrepreneurs. And Tony Robbins asked, like, how many people have one of these systems in place? How many people have two of these systems in place? How many people have three? By the time he got to two, less than 4% of the room had this in place. He's like, that is the single, like one of the single biggest components you could do to double and triple your company. And you want to know what it is? What? It's a system around customer to customer referrals. Hmm. If you look at Dropbox, Dropbox literally grew from 100,000 users to 4 million users in 18 months because of a referral system.
Interesting.
That's the main source of it.
You're right. I think you're 100% right. Nobody really focuses on that.
Right? Yeah, so that's a specific example. There's another company that I know too. This isn't out on the web or anything like that, but essentially they grew from 1 million to about 5 million in 18 months and sold to LinkedIn. And they did that through a referral system. So it's like you build up all this capital with your customers, but you don't systemize on them spreading their word and accelerating the word of all the work that you've done to them to make them happy.
And that's something that I don't think I've ever heard discussed at an enterprise level, ever, really. Because you ask for referrals. You ask for referrals when you complete an RFP, maybe. You ask for some referrals to record a video and throw it up on your website. But those are not systems. Those are one-off transactions to get some social proof, right? Yeah. What's the Dropbox? Do you know the Dropbox example? Like how they built it?
That one's super simple. And I'll give you this as a takeaway, but then I'll give you kind of like the high-level framework of kind of how I view it or approach it. But like all Dropbox did is they included in their implementation, you know, 7 steps to implement it and get started. And step number 7 was if you refer 2 people, you'll get an extra 250 megs of space. Mm-hmm. That's it. So that's a real simple one. Now, granted, that's on a lower ticket, $99 a month one. But on the enterprise side, there's a lot of opportunities. And so the way I approached it, and I got hit by a bunch of different angles with this, but basically I used the behavior design that created Instagram, that the founders of Instagram used to basically explode that platform, that social media platform. So I used the behavior design from that to make it super and drop it into an existing process that you already have. So it's not all these new things that you got to do, right, from your team's perspective. And then also I leveraged the behavior dynamics of a lot of psychology. And I'll give you a simple principle that works just wonders. And this is very, very simple. However, it's got to be customized to the individuals. But like, for example, have you heard of Robert Cialdini's book, Persuasion? Yes, or Persuasion? Yeah. Or Influence and Persuasion? Persuasion, yeah. So reciprocity principle, which is number one, is the idea, and I love this example because it's so simple, everybody gets it, is that, you know, when you go and you go to a diner, you go to a restaurant and your waitress comes or waiter comes and they're like, all right, here's the bill. Before that, the ones that give you something get a 17% increase in tips, right? Now, if they make it custom or specific to you, like they bring you the bill and it's unexpected and they come back and like, oh, here's some coffee. I realize that you really like coffee. You could take this to go. Those people get a 30% bump in their tips. And it's because people feel the need to reciprocate if you give them something of value, specifically on the spot. So that's part of the process that we integrate in there. And then the third, last but not least step is you map the process on your side. You map the behavior dynamics, but then at the same time, you mirror those to the peak emotional experiences that your customers have throughout their journey from the point in which they sign with you to the point in which they have their first win to the point in which they're, you know, over the moon. And those are the right times to ask because you give them something, they're super ecstatic, they love you, and they'll def and then you got to make it easy for them, and then they'll give you those referrals all day long.
That's very, very smart. So this is the three part system that you implement. Now, how do you do this in 3 months? That's not easy either. You go into an enterprise organization, you do it over a year, but what about the 3 month piece?
Yeah, and so in full transparency, I'm not working with billion-dollar companies on this, right?
No,
Because
fair, yeah.
there's so
A
just be
little bit more
transparent.
agile.
These are people that are
Yeah.
selling to enterprise companies, selling to
True.
big deals, I should say. So it's now granted, however, I will tell you this: there is one of the biggest companies in the world that I'm in conversations with that is not doing this. So like it scales from up and down, which is why a lot of people are highly interested, and then you map the metrics to it, and it's insane. And it's even backed by HubSpot that 92% of, I think it's maybe 84, it's 84%, I believe. 84% of new purchases start with a conversation from a peer. So why not put some gasoline and accelerate that, right? So the 3 month thing, what you're asking about that is basically it's the way you look at it. And when I work with folks, and I'm going to start to codify this into a course and a training that I'm doing so that I could expand this out to much more people because I believe that you can make an impact on Scott. I mean, the number I threw out there is 100 million. I still got to do a little research to make sure that number is achievable, but help 100 million people to grow their businesses by giving first to grow their business, which I think is beautiful about the model because people light up when you do that. And how it's done in the 3 month period is it's really looking from macro to micro. What is that company specifically doing? How are all their processes systems set up? And then how do we map those kind of different components to them? And then at the same time, plug into what their customers are going to respond to. So look at it from like assessment to execution is kind of how I approach it.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Now I have entrepreneurial questions because the only reason why I'm really curious about your entrepreneurial journey is because it is fresh and you just did a complete pivot in the middle of a pandemic and you're not, you still have your hair. You're not,
Forehead's a
game
little
over. Yeah.
bigger. Forehead gets a little bigger every day, but that's okay.
That's okay. Whatever. You still have some. So it's been like an okay couple months. No, I was going to say, so I wanted to ask you entrepreneurial questions about your journey, but is there anything about the selling system or some of your sales experience that we didn't go into? Because you gave a really nice summary, but I didn't want to cut anything out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll give a micro. I mean, long story short is there's a lot of complexity to really big deals. And what I'd recommend is if you're a founder or you're a CEO and you want to move up market or you're trying to muscle this up and do it on yourself, work with someone who's been down that path and not someone that has necessarily worked at an Oracle or an SAP. Not that there's anything wrong with them. However, a lot of times, the brand recognition is different than working with something that's completely unknown. So my recommendation, it doesn't have to be me. There's other people out there I'm sure that you could find, but work with someone who has been in your situation where they're going from an unknown brand to selling to really big companies because there's an art to it. So we don't need to get anything else about me. That's just a little advice or tip.
I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Gusto. Gusto is the easy online payroll and benefits solution set up for small businesses. So really, Gusto is payroll, benefits, onboarding, HR, all in one place. And it helps you accomplish all of that, but keep in mind, it is built for the business owner. It is a people-first platform. It is the most user-friendly tool that I've ever used. And this is really just to remove all the busy work, all the admin work away from running a business. So let me just list out what it takes care of, because it really is an all-in-one. So it does payroll, W-2s, 1099s, health benefits, 401ks, offer letters, onboarding checklists, software setup. They transition your entire business from whatever you're previously using to Gusto free of charge. They also have on-demand access to HR experts in the platform. You can get unlimited payrolls for a monthly price, automatically file all of your taxes, state and federal. When customers migrate to Gusto, they don't leave. 94% of their customers say that Gusto has dramatically streamlined all of their payroll headaches compared to whatever software they're using before. And 3 out of 4 customers say that they can run their entire company's payroll in under 10 minutes, which is absolutely insane. And a huge, huge, huge savior for anybody that is trying to run a business themselves that doesn't have all the help in-house just yet. Or perhaps they do have the help and they're just not efficient or they're not quick and you want to perhaps scale that person. That's what Gusto can do for you. And they're also offering a great discount for everybody who is a Success Story podcast listener. They're giving you 3 months free of the tool. So if you go to gusto.com/Scott, you get 3 months free of payroll solutions. There's no limitations on your account. So go to gusto.com/Scott, sign up, and you will remove all of the headache when it comes to running your business, and you can now work on your business as opposed to in your business. Gusto.com/Scott. I promise you, this will get rid of all the pain points, all the headache. This will be the best business decision you've ever made. All right, let's get back to the show. And just, I guess, one thing that I just thought about, what about the risk in putting, you know, all your eggs in one basket, so to speak, going after enterprise versus maybe winning some smaller deals quicker? Is that an issue?
I think no, because I don't believe you should do that, right? It'd be like saying YOLO and throwing all your money on GameStop. Now, yeah. Granted, it could work out, but there's a lot of poor staffs that lost a lot of money on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or just going all in on a meme stock, right?
Yeah.
So while we're on the topic of investments, real simple way is just look at, and you don't need to hire a whole new enterprise team. You could, with this method, you can start to have your team expand up and do it and look at it like a balanced portfolio, right? If you want to start going up market, have 30% of them be enterprise, whatever, 50% being mid-market, and maybe 20% being small, medium business. It all depends on your business.
Yeah.
But, or if you're mid-market and enterprise, you do a 70-30 split to start, and then it could eventually move to 50-50, because then you have the longs and then the short and medium wins too for cash flow purposes.
That's smart. Very smart. Okay. Let's break down your entrepreneurial journey. So you're starting a course, you were let go. What do you do next? Do you work, like, how did you decide to start this company, and what were the steps you took?
Yeah, man. So I always had the dream of starting my own company and doing my own thing. I think, like, I stayed, I probably should have left like 3 years ago, to be completely honest. Like, I stayed 2 years too long. And the reason being is I was always, you know, once you start to get to a point in the corporate world, you make good money, it's safe. And it's almost like you feel bad if you turn your nose at that and say, like, hey, I'm gonna do my own thing and start from scratch, right? My situation was a little bit different, so I was forced into it. However, not once did I look for another job. I'm like, I'm gonna find a way to make this work, and it's been my dream. I don't want to ever work for someone else again. Now that's where I'm at right now. Maybe it changes, right? So I burned my boats. And dude, I'll tell you, man, when it first happened, it was really hard, and I haven't told this to anybody at all, so your folks are first to hear it, but in a sense of vulnerability,
yeah.
Like, cause it's not a wound anymore. It's probably more of a scar, but I remember, like, it was not a good day in the Staley household. My wife was like, what are you going to do? You know, she was upset. My son thought that, he played in band at the time, and I loved the little guy. He's like, Dad, am I going to have to play my saxophone for money? Like, are we getting kicked out of our house? And it's funny now, however, it was gut-wrenching to see like my family with all that indecisiveness. So I just started chipping away and trying lots of things. I had some mentorship in different areas. I joined some coaching groups to upskill myself because that's the fastest way to get results. You got to invest in yourself to get those outcomes. And I started trying a lot of different things and really taking note. And I worked a lot of hours. And really, it kind of got to the point where that was the first 5 months of it. And then once I made the shift, I had a lot more clarity around what I needed to do and how I needed to approach it. So the biggest thing that I think is really, really important that I made the mistake that I'll share with you, the listener, is that I try to do too many things at once. And I still have the curse of the shiny ball syndrome every now and then now as well. But to really narrow it down on one offering and just absolutely crush that offering, and then you could think about scaling later. So that's my advice, and that's kind of where I've gotten to, and I'm out of the thick of it now, and things are exciting.
That's amazing. And that's good for you. Very good for you. Like, congratulations, 'cause that's not easy. And you, so you found this, you had your product that you had proven out that has worked, and then you just sold it. You sold this strategy to businesses. And now, when did you close your first deal as an entrepreneur? Was it month five?
Yeah, well, so I started having people, it's funny because I started having people want me to coach them on how to sell, because I help sales reps, like I help one person increase their income from never being in B2B sales to almost like 500K in like a couple of years. So people, I had some coaching students like right from the get-go, like people wanted me to work with them and help them. So I had kind of different avenues where I started to do that. My first consulting company that I closed was right after I did the Enterprise Sales Summit. And it was kind of on accident because I wasn't focused on it, but I had someone from my network tell me, I want you to help me with this. And then I had someone else from a referral tell me, like, hey, like, I want you to help with this. And then I started getting more referrals, leveraging my own dog food. And that's where my passion for referrals comes, because I basically started to create, really, really good cash flow and momentum from harnessing referrals. And I wasn't even focused on that, Scott. Like originally, like I didn't play inside my network with that. I was always siloed in my company, like I said. So I'm like, this could be one of the best gifts that I could give entrepreneurs or startups that are starting if I could teach them how to do this and systemize it.
And right now, is it still you that has to go in and teach, or are you starting to coursify this? 'Cause you said you were trying to do that.
Yeah, so I have customers that I work with one-on-one, and obviously there's limitations to that, in terms of scaling your time. And so I'm doing that, but I'm gonna have some new offerings coming out very, very shortly. So I'm excited to that. I'm gonna have a course. It's probably gonna be a boot camp type fashion, like a 12-week course to implement this. And I think, I mean, it could deliver massive, massive results. I mean, one of my customers, they had with one of these, just one of the operating systems I mentioned, they had a person who is spending 25% of their time that was in the training department before, and they got the entire ROI on the consulting engagement in like a month and a
It's
half.
pretty damn good.
And so once you start to see results like that, you're like, okay, there's something here. I got to share this with more people.
Very good. And I'm curious, 'cause you're still living it. What was the biggest misconception about entrepreneurship and building your own business that you had going in that you sort of matured on over the past year?
Yeah, one of the biggest things is I waited too long to leverage other people.
That's smart.
I tried to lone wolf it, and with my pride, I'm like, I'm gonna figure this out. This is what I'm gonna do, right? And I started talking to more and more people, and at the same time, I wish I would have outsourced different components of what I was doing, and that would have massively accelerated like where I was going and how fast I could have
Do you
gone.
outsource stuff now? It's not just you now. You're starting to grow like team and build it there.
I have different contracts. You don't even have to hire people full time right now. That's the beautiful thing, right? So you could ramp it up, whether it be with your content, whether it be your podcast development, whether it be Legion. I mean, there's so many different
We were
things.
talking about this before, like how I'm, you know, like I'm trying to do that now just because you, and it's like the classic, like first time, I don't even know it's first time, just classic person who's never scaled before problem. They just feel like they can do everything themselves.
Yeah,
But
and I mean, that's a ma like, here's the thing. Somebody told me this, and a great book to read on this is Who Not How. Have you ever heard of the book Who Not How by Dan Sullivan and Ben Hardy?
it is a familiar name, but I'm not placing it. Maybe I've seen it in the past. I can't remember.
Okay, so any entrepreneur that wants to get more skilled at outsourcing, read that book. Like it
All right,
totally changes the game in terms of your time. Like you could buy your time back at a discount massively. It's insane.
then.
So that's my tip.
Good. That's good. Okay. I like to do some rapid fire career questions to pull it at the end. Is there anything else that you want to touch on about what you're doing with their business going forward, or did we cover most everything?
No, man, we pretty much covered anything, everything. So just like
Okay.
if you're
Okay, cool.
interested, connect with me. I mean, like connect with me on LinkedIn, and I have a podcast
Yeah.
as well, Sales and Marketing Built Freedom.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, good. All right. Biggest challenge you had in your entire career, how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I think my biggest challenge in my entire career was when I got demoted. Even though I was doing well, because I was burnt out and fried. And at the same time, my relationships were melting down with my family, with my kids, because I was so burnt out. I was fried. And how I overcame it is I started focusing on things outside of work. Just like I did goals for work, I did goals about relationships and fun and life, and that changed everything. My results got better, everything got better. So that's one thing I'd recommend.
Good. Smart. Very smart. What would be one thing you would tell your 20-year-old self?
Ah, the 20-year-olds, not even my 21, so I can't even drink yet in this scenario,
No, you're
right?
still responsible because then the lessons go downhill once you start drinking for like the next 5 years. So
Okay.
don't.
That makes sense, man. So here's what I would say is like early on my career. One of the beautiful gifts that I got from my parents is to work hard. And that's only a piece of the equation. So my advice I give to my 20-year-old self, not my 21-year-old self, is to really seek out the best of what you want to become, who those people are, what do they look like, what do they believe, and reverse engineer that, and you can do anything in really fast time. And it took me a long time to figure that. Once I figured that out, I mean, things took off like a rocket.
Good advice. Very good advice. You just touched on this, but I'll see if you get a different answer. The person or people who have been really influential in your life, what did they teach you?
Yeah, I mean, my parents and my wife and my kids is just being loving, and putting your heart out there and just being supportive no matter what the situation. That's been absolutely amazing with all the ups and downs that I've had in my career. So this is a different answer. It's more on the emotional side, Scott,
It's okay. It's
so
good.
yeah,
It's
man.
good.
So that's what I would say is just people being there for you in situations where you really, really need them.
Good. What's a podcast or a book that you'd recommend people go check out besides all the ones you already recommended?
I'm just blowing
I
away. I'm dropping stuff left and right. Okay.
know,
So,
I know.
can I give two books? Is that cool,
Yeah,
man?
for sure. Go for it. Go
All
for it.
right. So, and I like a little recency bias, but one book that's really good for exponential thinking is a book called U Squared. Have you ever heard of U Squared?
No, I don't know that. These are
It's
new to me. These are all new.
only 36 pages long. And it's one of the most thought-provoking books. And a mentor of mine recommended me to read it every single week. Because it's all about thinking differently in ways that can exponentially increase your life. So that's book number one. Book number two that I am in the middle of that I'm absolutely infatuated with is The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs. I could have read that book 10 years ago and not get out of it what I'm like internalizing right now with how truly, truly masterful he was at vision and inspiring people at an emotional level. And I think it's some of the stuff is really beautiful in what he did. I know he gets painted as like a kind of a jerk or a hardcore guy, but there's some amazing things that he did that could help you, if you're interested, change the world.
Very good. What does success mean to you?
That's a good question, man. And I have the type A achiever where it's like, I got to see results, like tangible results. I heard Tom Bilyeu say this and it really, really hit me, is like how you feel about yourself when nobody else is around, when you're by yourself. Like, how do you feel? Like, and that's pretty powerful, man.
That is. Yeah. That's a good answer. And then most importantly, where do people connect with you? All your socials, website, any of that?
Yeah. So my website is ryanstaley.io. That's the best. So my podcast is there. I got content there. And then you can connect me if you're interested and need some help on some of the things that we talked about.
Awesome. That's all I got. Perfect. That was awesome. Yeah. That was really, really good. Thank you, man. Let me make sure this is all. I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this show, and NetSuite has been a huge supporter for entrepreneurs, for business owners, because there's one thing that we all know. Business is about making money, and it's about your bottom line. And the less you spend on the nuts and bolts of running your business, the more profits you keep. But these days, everything is costing more. Supplies, people, shipping. It squeezes your margins, and I've been there, juggling multiple systems for finance, inventory, you name it. Each with its own costs and its own set of headaches. That's why I made the switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's changed our company. Think about it. NetSuite is one of the top financial systems out there. It puts your whole business on one platform, accounting, finance, the works. One data source for everyone. There's no more mismatched info. And because it's in the cloud, it slashes your IT costs. No more servers, no more updates. Just access NetSuite from anywhere. With one integrated suite, your overhead drops big time. And here's the real win. Efficiency. Everything's connected in NetSuite. Costs are ridiculous lately. Find a proven way to reduce your expenses and get better performance out of your team. It's a no-brainer, and that's what NetSuite offers. Over 37,000 companies have figured this out already. You have to join them. Right now, through to April 15th, NetSuite's got an incredible, flexible financing plan. Check it out and see the savings yourself at netsuite.com/ScottClary. That's netsuite.com/ScottClary. Hiring as a small business owner is a major pain. That's why LinkedIn is supporting today's episode. You need people with the right skills and experience, but finding them can take forever. It is incredibly frustrating to keep seeing candidates who just aren't a good fit, and that's why LinkedIn Jobs has been a game changer. Let me tell you a little story. We needed to hire a graphic designer, somebody with specific tech and software knowledge and the ability to truly understand our brand. And I started with all the usual job boards, and it's the same old story. Tons of irrelevant applications. No one's really matching my needs. I tried LinkedIn Jobs, and the quality of candidates was just on another level. People with impressive portfolios, relevant expertise. I finally felt like I was interviewing the right people. That's truly the power of LinkedIn's massive professional network. You're tapping into this huge pool of talent you simply wouldn't find on other sites. It's about finding those niche candidates you actually need. And with the right people in front of you, hiring becomes a breeze. Did you know that 86% of small businesses find a qualified candidate on LinkedIn Jobs within 24 hours? That is how well their system works. Honestly, do yourself a favor and try LinkedIn Jobs next time you're hiring. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/excellence. That's linkedin.com/excellence. Terms and conditions apply, but it's definitely worth trying out. I don't know about you, but the idea of being harassed, scammed, or even worse, all because somebody found my personal information online, that's terrifying. Our political opinions, our addresses, even stuff about our families, it's out there for anyone to grab. And did you know that data brokers are allowed to sell information on over 98% of Americans? It's scary stuff. That's why I've partnered with Delete Me. I personally use Delete Me. They're a big friend of the podcast because I put myself out there online. So safety is a huge concern. It's really scary how easy it is to find someone's details and information, but DeleteMe creates a layer of protection that we all need. You tell DeleteMe what you want gone, and they make it disappear from those sketchy data broker sites. And DeleteMe doesn't stop. They constantly monitor the web to keep your information off those lists. It's like having a privacy watchdog that never sleeps. You need to take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe. They're giving a special discount for all Success Story podcast listeners. Get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/success and use promo code success at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/success and enter code success at checkout. joindeleteme.com/success. Hey everyone, I just want to take a second and thank the sponsor of today's episode, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond Bourbon. Now, I don't have a lot of liquor sponsors on this show. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is actually one of my favorites. I've drank it for a few years now, and this is why we actually decided to work together. Heaven Hill Distillery, family owned since 1935, is a great entrepreneur story too. So there's five brothers. They filled their first whiskey barrels back in 1935, and their legacy still lives on today. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond is aged over 7 years. That's three more than required by the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897. This means the best quality, the best purity, and the best consistency. This is not just average bourbon. It's the winner of the double gold medals at multiple 2023 World Spirits competitions, and they've won the very prestigious Triple Still Award. It's a very big deal in the liquor and bourbon world. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond boasts an exceptionally smooth oak flavor, while its aroma offers a sweet blend of caramel and smooth vanilla. If you love bourbon, you need to try Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Available nationally, look for a bottle at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Think back to your last few days in the office. Did any of them leave you feeling really accomplished? Not the kind of day where you're running around like crazy, but where you've made real progress on something that matters. Because being busy doesn't always mean being productive, and I bet you we've all been there, and maybe it's time to rethink what it means to get things done. Today's episode is sponsored by Belay. And what they help you do is, instead of getting sucked into emails and to-do lists, they help you delegate tasks and focus on big goals. They can connect you with top-notch US-based talent who are ready to take on those time-consuming tasks that bog you down. Let's be real. There are way more important things you could be doing than bookkeeping or wrangling a packed inbox. They have virtual assistants to handle all of those pesky administrative tasks, or accounting professional to take care of all your financials. But here's the best part. You don't have to waste weeks searching for the right person. Belay's personalized matching service works quickly, sometimes matching you with the right talent to take stuff off your plate in under a week. Are you ready to try a different way of working? Check out Belay's list of the top 25 things you can delegate to a virtual assistant. It might just change your business and your life. Text SUCCESS, that's SUCCESS, to 55123 to get the list and to start transforming your to-do list with Belay.